Greg really got to you guys last week, didn't he? That was good. It's good to see everybody out this morning. Thank you for coming and joining us as we worship our Father together this morning. Go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 4. And I want to begin our study this morning by reading verses 18 through 20 together from Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. These are the first recorded words that we have of our Savior speaking to who would become one of his most closest friends and allies, the Apostle Peter. And in verse 19, those first two words were, "Follow me." And for the next 3 years, Peter did just that. He followed Jesus as he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He was there watching as Jesus performed miracles, healing the sick and making the blind to see again and the mute to speak. He was by his side as he taught in parables and battled time and time again the religious zealots and the scribes and Pharisees. Peter was there. Peter was the one who stepped out of the boat and for a moment walked on water towards Jesus. Peter followed Jesus onto the Mount of Transfiguration, where with his own two ears he heard the voice of God confirm Jesus as his beloved Son. Peter was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed intensely about his upcoming death. And although denying him to those nearby, Peter from a distance followed Jesus as he was put on trial and ultimately crucified. For 3 years, Peter followed Jesus every step of the way. He listened to every word that came out of Jesus' mouth. Peter was there to see every move that Jesus made. A lifetime of following can be found in the 3 short years that Peter spent with Jesus. And yet, after Jesus had risen from the dead, as he was about to ascend back into heaven to take his rightful place at his Father's throne, Jesus had one more conversation with his loyal friend, Peter. And that conversation is recorded for us in John, the 21st chapter. After a back and forth in which Jesus pushed Peter about tending to his flocks and feeding his lambs, Jesus asked Peter for a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter, exasperated at this point, said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus concludes what would be their last personal conversation on earth with these two words in verse 19, "Follow me." Peter's physical relationship with Jesus ended the exact same way that it began. A lifetime of joy and sorrow and learning and teaching separated the two, but the call remained the same. Peter, follow me. The first call makes perfect sense. Jesus is for the very first time calling Peter into service. However, this last time, this time Peter can't go where Jesus is going. Not yet, anyway. And truth be told, if I was Peter, my reaction might have been to hearing that to say, Lord, I have followed you. I gave up everything to follow you. But what Peter recognized, and what you and I have to learn as well, is that the call to follow Jesus is a lifelong journey. Look with me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus there speaking to his disciples says, verse number 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus here, speaking to his disciples, calls all men to follow him and tells them that whoever chooses to answer that call, to follow Christ, must deny himself and take up his cross. Even your very life, all worldly gain must take a back seat to the decision to follow Jesus. There is nothing, nothing more important than our souls. And one who decides to follow Jesus is doing so with an understanding that hard times will come. Peer pressure, family strife, social pressure, perhaps even physical or mental abuse may come our way when we choose a life of following Christ. But Jesus' response to those concerns and others like them, what would you exchange for your soul? In John chapter 16, Jesus there warns his apostles of the challenges that are going to come and the rejection that they are going to face as men teaching and following Jesus Christ. And at the conclusion of this very blunt and honest assessment of what is awaiting his apostles, he says in verse number 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Choosing a lifetime of following Jesus is not choosing a path of ease, but choosing a lifetime of following Jesus is a path that leads to peace and an eternal reward that will make it all worthwhile. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges to someone making the decision to follow Jesus is a very real and powerful feeling that can sometimes overwhelm us of unworthiness. In our culture today, we are programmed to expect and to accept that we live in a meritocracy. That is a society in which our success and our failures are determined by our own abilities. For example, if you're preparing for a job interview, you'll spend hours poring over every word of your resume to make sure that it paints you in the best light possible so that you can show your potential employer your value and that you deserve to be a part of their company. We want to be seen as qualified for positions in which we are applying for. We want to be seen as valuable to those who we work for. And we're confident that if we can achieve that, then we will be rewarded the job that we're seeking. And it's because of that mentality that we see the position of following Jesus Christ and following in his footsteps as unachievable. I'm not qualified to follow after Jesus. Jesus understood that that may be a stumbling block to some. And so he addresses those very concerns in Luke chapter 5. As was read for us just a moment ago there from Luke chapter 5, Jesus there went into the tax office and called Levi, who's also known as Matthew, to follow him. Tax collectors during this day and time were the scum of society. They cheated and they stole from the people, all under the protection and the authority of the Roman government. And so, as Jesus dined with Matthew and the other tax collectors, not surprisingly, the scribes and the Pharisees showed up and said, "Jesus, what are you doing?" These people are not worthy of following you. And it's then, as you recall, that Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Jesus would go on to say in Matthew chapter 20, at the conclusion of his parable about the workers in the vineyard, that the pervasive mindset that infects our society today was really no different back then. They too believed you were entitled to only what you earned. But Jesus said in verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 20, "The first shall be last, and the last first." If you remember when he was pressed by the mother of James and John about her desire for her sons to have a prominent place in the kingdom, Jesus responded similarly there by saying, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." The kingdom of God is no meritocracy. And the call to follow Jesus is not reserved for those who are perceived as being righteous. Jesus calls the sinner to follow. We can take great comfort in knowing that we serve a Savior who can forgive us of our sins and make us worthy of that call to follow him, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. And if we answer that call, if we answer the call to follow Jesus and we begin our lifelong journey of doing so, we can rest assured that one day we will in fact be rewarded. In fact, there is one time and one time only in all of Scripture in which Jesus points to someone and pronounces that the mission is complete and that one has followed him. And that's found in Matthew chapter 19. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 19, and let's read that together. At the conclusion here of Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is foreshadowing here the day of judgment. And beginning in verse number 28, he says, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." There is a finish line to this race. And I can only imagine, as Peter heard the Lord command him to follow me after 3 long years of doing just that, 3 years of facing adversity and conflict at every turn, after seeing his friend and Savior crucified, can only imagine that his heart may have sunk for just a moment as he realized that while Jesus was about to return to heaven, he still had work to do here on earth. And he still had to follow Jesus. But perhaps in that moment, perhaps he remembered the words that Jesus spoke here in Matthew chapter 19. Perhaps, like you and I can, he could have also taken some refuge in knowing that our race will one day come to an end, that all the pain, all the sorrow, all the disappointment that life brings will be replaced with the sweetest words ever heard: "You have followed me." And in a very real sense, we will be doing just that by following Jesus from earth to heaven. If you're here this morning and you have not yet made the decision to follow Jesus, we want to encourage you to do that right now. Repent of your sins, confess him as the Son of God, be baptized into his death for the remission of your sins, and be raised a new man, as Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 4. But perhaps there's someone here who has made the decision in the past to follow Jesus. But you recognize now that you're no longer following him the way that you should. You're no longer following him the way that he wants his disciples to follow him. Perhaps stress has gotten to you. Perhaps family problems have derailed you. Maybe it's financial stresses. Maybe it's health or the health of someone close to you. Something has taken your focus off of the prize and off of the goal. If that's the case, we want to encourage you to shake off the challenges of this life and to once again take up your cross and begin the journey again, following your Savior all the way to heaven. If we can help you in any way to make that decision this morning, please come to the front and let us know while we stand and sing.